Okay, so then we're going to start with the different foods we have to eat on Shabbat. So before we get to meat and wine, we're going to cover a couple other interesting things that are discussed in the poskim and that we have a little bit what to say about. So start with the Gemara on Shabbat and Kuf Yud Chet Amud Bet. So the Gemara says V'kad LaShabbat Oleg HaVeYom Ze Onik Shabbat B'meh Me'ango. So there's a bit of Onik Shabbat. You have to enjoy Shabbat by eating delicious food. So what are you supposed to eat? So Rav Yehuda Bar Rav Yishmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav Amar B'Tavshil Shel Tradin V'Dagim Gedolim V'Rashi Shumin. So you should eat cooked beets, or and you should eat big fish, and you should eat heads of garlic. So we're going to say that, see that generally speaking, the poskim are going to say that this is lav davka. The point is, you should eat machalim chashuvim, the fancy food. Not even if you really love peanut butter sandwiches, you have to eat fancy foods. If you look at Rashi on the top second line, you see tefashim shen tchadin chashuvu. Rashi shumin chashuvim ayulahim. Rashi doesn't think much of garlic. Chazal found it devar chashuv. So, but nevertheless, the last two of these categories seem to have a special status, that is fish and garlic. So, and again, so without analyzing too much, let's look at the Magen Avraham on the second page.
The Haggis Sabach also says that these two foods were also very healthy.
Oh, yeah?
The Tradin were good for the heart, good for the eyes.
Oh, very good.
The intestines.
And the Bach on the left-hand side.
And also he says the same for Shum, that Shum was Masbiya, it was Mashrin and Matil Ponim.
Ah, that's very good, because the Gemara says in many places, Lashon Chachamim Marpeh, that the Chachamim always give healthy advice, they don't give unhealthy advice. That makes sense, very good. So let's talk a little bit about fish. So the Magen Avraham in number two quotes the Tikkuni Shabbat, שאוכל בכל סעודה מגימל סעודות דגים, אין שם. So the Sefer Tikkuni Shabbat is recommending, we see this is basically על פי קבלה, to eat fish in each of the three meals of Shabbat. ונראה לי, says the Magen Avraham, כל אחד לפי טבעו. Magen Avraham says, you know, whatever you enjoy, that's the עיקר, but we have this minhag, or הקפדה על פי קבלה, to eat fish at each of the three meals. Interesting, the Kaf HaChaim quotes from sources from the Arizal that he said that Suda Shlishit especially you should eat fish. Again, I'm not a Mekubal, so I don't necessarily understand the reasons behind it, but this is a minhag that's brought down. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it. It's a very widespread minhag. So what can we say? But there's a couple of interesting things, just a couple of interesting points. First of all, the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchatan on page 3 has an interesting suggestion which could be relevant to us. Mishnah Berurah says, so he quotes the Mishnah Berurah that you're supposed to eat fish at every meal if you can. Ayin Shulchan Aruch Harav, in the footnote Samach Gimel, he says, the Shulchan Aruch Harav is Hadduche Hadea Da'achila Dagim Doraita. Apparently there was a Shita that said that eating fish on Shabbat is deraita. Ubinyan achilat dagim says, "Ulay yesh lomar haynu kafi shematzinu midbar kaftet lamidvav bepirush Rashi the dagim chashiv itfei mibasar chulin mibasar." And chul dagmar chulin. Fizi yesh dayan bezmeninu the adam machshiv yoter achilat basar. He says it could be that the whole idea of fish is just again machal chashuv. It's not a special. Again, it's hard to say this. You know, when you see the original sources, they quote that everything is based on Kabbalah. So how can you say it's based on Machal Chashuv? But he says maybe nowadays it's not as important.
Fish?
Yeah, fish. Maybe that's what he suggests. Maybe nowadays we find basar more fancy. So maybe that could be a substitute for the chashivut of fish. I don't know, a substitute for the Kabbalistic elements, which had to do with tikkunim and gilgulim. Neshamot with the tzaddikim and things like that, but it's an interesting point. Do we have any specific minhag on this issue? So, Rav Tzabi in page 5.
Does machshiv mean that it's something that that's subjective, meaning what people like in general, or does it mean something that's like known as a fancy food?
I think in terms of the enjoyment aspect, Oneg Shabbat, that's. Usually, I think poskim see that to be subjective, whatever you like, but But there is an aspect to it which is objective. As the chashivut seemingly would be objective, meaning whatever in your society, however you define that, you consider to be machal chashuv. That would seem to be the case.
And that can change over time.
I think so.
Can you just ask, is the Shmuel Shabbat suggesting that we think today that basal is more chashuv?
Yeah, he's saying that's his impression, societally, and so everything. Thinks maybe dagim are not as important as they used to be. It's interesting, when you look at the Pesukim, they talk about what food to eat on Shabbat, the issue of dagim, takes front and center. They talk about that the Jews will pay any price for fish for Shabbat, and then the goyim will increase the prices of fish because they know that they have a captive market, and then the rabbanim have to get involved and make a chem that nobody should buy fish for Shabbat, so they put the price back down. There's a lot of material in the poskim about this issue of fish for Shabbat, but nevertheless, despite that, if you look in page 5, so Rav Tami talks about various foods which the poskim talk about eating. So he took, so he says in the last line that we backed off, chen dagim. So he says, who had fish in Tayman? Meaning, most of the country was like they lived in the mountains, in landlocked areas. There was there was no fish anywhere to be had during the week either. Maybe in Aden, maybe they had fish, so they had fish on Shabbat. But in other places, they didn't even have fish. I think there's a movie called Salmon Fishing in the Yemen about some British lady who supposedly tries to bring salmon to the rivers in Tayman, so that as a project to connect the Westerners with the Arabs. I don't know what it, but they don't have fish there very much. So therefore, this minhag doesn't really exist by us. It's interesting. He refers earlier to, he says the poskim talk about kugel. We never heard of kugel. They talk about chont. We never had chont. They talk about.
He wrote Chul and Tachul.
That's how the Rishonim quote. That's how the Rishonim write it. He says that we don't have such things. So, you can't say, you have to eat Chul. Yeah, that's interesting, right? But he says, but look down a few lines. So what do we eat for Shabbat? L'chot Shabbat? Hem milvad marak basar. Milvad l'el Shabbat. Of course, you have to eat.
That's that every day.
You have to eat... meat, beef soup with hawaij. Ochlim b'shachrit Shabbat kubane. On Shabbat morning we eat kubane. V'yesh mokvot she'osim tmurato jachnun. V'chan ochlim haris. And he explains haris, next page, he says haris is a kind of it's like a porridge with beans and rice also, and with meat, and that's what that was. They used to put up for Shabbat. They didn't include the next page, unfortunately. They used to put that up for Shabbat, for the morning. So it used to be like the chamin, but it was a kind of a porridge, wheat-based, daisa, kind of porridge dish. And they used to have meat. Now, if anyone can explain this to me, I'm very confused because he talks about eating kubana and jachnun. I always understood in Tayman kubana and jachnun were made with butter. And there was a modern invention to use margarine for kubana and jachnun. Yeah. They didn't have margarine, obviously, in Tayman. Margarine's a modern invention. So I'm at a loss as to how they could have had kubana and jachnun Shabbat morning if what they were having was a meat kind of chamin with shuman.
So have the jachnun first and wash your rinse your mouth out.
Okay, you're right. You could do that, but it's a little unusual. Like having a nice meal, and now you have to worry about all these halachot to separate between the. Maybe they made it with oil. Maybe they had to make it with oil.
I was just gonna say my mother makes kubana with oil, and it comes out very less fattening.
And jachnun also.
Jachnun.
I never heard of jachnun with oil.
I think jachnun you need the margarine so it doesn't stick to the pot.
Yeah. So this is a tzarechin. You can ask your
grandmother.
But they have parv margarine. Yeah. Oh, but you're saying they didn't
have margarine.
That
margarine's a recent French invention or something like that, 19th century. Like nobody had that in Tayman. So I'm not sure. But either way. They used to eat these things, and they definitely never heard of heard.
Or maybe
heard
they just
fish.
Lost the side of their jachnun and just took the inside out.
Do you refer to mulyata? That's fish?
Yeah. He also refers it to mulyata tzarama in Simon Resh Mem Bet, and Mama says it's minhag on Shabbat to eat mulyata, which is.
Oh, is that mullet?
No, which is pie.
Oh, that's pie.
It's like pot pie, and the Rama says that we don't have such a minhag, meaning. He says he refers to this minhag from older sources, and he says we don't observe it nowadays, and I don't think anybody observes this minhag nowadays, but the basis of the minhag was zech laman, that there's two layer on top, layer of dough on the top, a layer of dough on the bottom, and the meat in the middle, or the fish in the middle, or whatever it is you have in the middle, in your pot pie, and that's zech laman, just like we cover the chalot on the bottom and on the top. And he says, like, we didn't even have, nobody ate pot pie at all, pot pie was not eaten in Tayman. Now, he doesn't explain to you the reason why pot pie was not eaten in Tayman is because in Tayman they observed chalitat basar, which means that you have to salt the pieces individually, but in addition to that, there's only two ways to eat meat in Tayman. One is by scalding it in boiling water, like soup, but you have to throw it in the boiling water, and the other way is roasting it. But according to Minhag Tayman, it's impossible to eat pot pie. Because it's being, maybe we'll talk about it if we do ever you do your Edea, but you can't cook the meat. It has to be scalded, it has to be sealed in either by the fire or by the boiling water so that the blood doesn't come out. And if you cook it slowly in a pie with liquids, then that would be a violation of the Shitat HaRambam. The blood is going to come out of the meat and it's going to make it prohibited to eat. So you have to seal the blood in. That's called Chalita. Either Tzli, roasting it, or Chalita, throwing in the boiling water. So that's probably why they didn't have pot pie, so therefore it wasn't shayach to talk about the minhag to eat pot pie on Shabbat. In any case, nobody observes that minhag nowadays anyway, so it's not so relevant. Okay, that's dagim. So we just didn't have fish, so maybe you could argue that now that we do have fish, we should be makpid al pi kabbalah. Okay, that's an interesting question. I didn't see a discussion of it in our poskim. Aside from that little aside there, but certainly we don't have such a minhag. Now I talk about another interesting topic, also a little known topic, which is the topic of garlic. We saw already the Gemara said that eating garlic on Lel Shabbat is Oneg Shabbat, Machal Chashuv. But also a famous psak of the Vilna Gaon, which we'll see is not just the Vilna Gaon, but it's dramatic to introduce it with the Vilna Gaon. He's usually famous for saying this. He said as follows on page 6, he says, Mitakanat Ezra, this is the Maaseh Rav, Sefer of the Hanagot of the Vilna Gaon. Mitakanat Ezra lechol shum b'lel Shabbat. There's a Takanat Ezra, right? That's why we saw last week, we saw a Takanat Ezra to do laundry on Thursdays. Mm. There's another Takanat, 10 Takanat Ezra. There's another one that you have to eat garlic on Friday nights. Interesting, nobody's ever heard of this. And ben nasui, ben sheno nasui, whether you're married or not. We'll see what's the relevance if you're married or not married. And there's shum yeh mevushal. So the Vilna Gaon was very makpid that everybody should eat garlic on Friday nights, whether they're married or not married. What's the basis for this? He just made it up? Of course not. You look on page 8, so come on, Bava Kama. We're on Bava Kama list, 10 takanot of Ezra. Very interesting. Let's see the Gemara on Bava Kama. So the Gemara says, Asara takanot tiken Ezra shikurin. It's 10 takanot of Ezra sofer. Shekorin b'mincha b'Shabbat. That's famous. We read Shabbat. We read Torah on Shabbat afternoon. Mincha. Korin b'sheni v'chamishi. We read the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. Danin b'sheni v'chamishi. The Bet Din should be open for business on Mondays and Thursdays, at least, if not more. Chabsim b'chamishi b'Shabbat. We saw this already. Doing laundry on Thursday. V'ochlin shum b'erev Shabbat and eating garlic on the Friday afternoon or the night of Shabbat, Lel Shabbat. V'shdei isha meshkemet v'ofa. Takana, the women should wake up early in the morning and bake bread. The Gemara explains the reason for that is because the poor people come to the door to collect their breakfast, and if she only bakes the bread after she wakes up and has her own breakfast, they're going to go hungry. So she should wake up, and the first thing she should do is bake bread so that when the poor people come to the door, they should have available. That obviously is not really going to apply nowadays because the poor people don't come to the door. So that would presumably not apply. Shtei isha chogeret besina. Women should wear undergarments for tzniut. V'shtia isha chofefet v'tovelet. That women should do a chafifa. They should wash their hair before they go to the mikveh. That's for chatzitza. Shiur ochlin mechazrin b'ayarot. Another thing to do with women, that makeup merchants should travel around from town to town so the women should always be able to buy makeup so that they'll look beautiful for their husbands. V'tiken tvila lebalei chayin. And he also made a takana that someone who's a keri should have to go to the mikveh before he learns Torah or prays, which is a topic in its own right that's not really observed nowadays. So all of these are pretty clear except for the business with the eating. Well, we explained them all, but the business with eating garlic we left out. So the Gemara
who are the people who are supposed to eat this garlic? the men and the women, or just the men?
So this is an interesting question. You know, Pashtut, you'll see the reason. You'll see that it's probably only the men.
Ben Nasui, Ben Sheino.
Well, that was what the Gemara says. Let's see what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what's the reason? She'ochinin shum, Be'er Shabbat. Why? Mishum ona. Why? Because garlic helps fulfill the mitzvah of ona, of relations with the man's wife, which is especially it's on Friday night. So the garlic will help him do that. So lichora, it should be obvious that that's not going to apply to unmarried men. But we'll see. You mentioned women. There is a funny rosh on this Gemara who says, yeah, and banot gam can be chlal. And the people of Charifta, they come down the says, what does that mean? Obviously, this is not shayach to women. And he thinks it's ta'ut sofer. But I think there may be some people who have such a thing. But this thing is such an uncommon practice that anyone to actually follow this takana, that will seem to start talking about applying to women. That's very, very, very strange. So now, again, lichora, logically speaking, it seems that this takana would apply to married men, right? What does it have to do with unmarried men? But perhaps one of the proof of the Vilna Gaon's position is from the Mishnah Nedarim, Mishnah on page 9. Mishnah says, "Anoder mishovtei Shabbat, asur b'Israel v'asur b'kutim." So, person who makes a neder, I will not get hana'ah from people who keep Shabbat. So, he's asur to get hana'ah from any Jewish person and from any Samaritan, any kutim, right? Because they also keep Shabbat. Mochlei shum, he makes a neder, I will not get hana'ah from anyone who eats garlic. We shouldn't explain to me someone who eats garlic on Friday night. Asur b'Israel v'asur b'kutim. And he's forbidden to get hana'ah from any Jewish person. And then there's a question of the girsa here. Some of the girsa are mutar bakutim, some of the girsa asur bakutim. Depends whether the kutim observed the takanat is ra. But the mashmut of the Mishnah is that it's forbidden to get any hana'ah from any Jewish person. So it sounds like all Jewish people eat garlic on Leil Shabbat. So that could be where in the Vilna Gaon got this idea from. Now this Gemara is quoted in the Rif, it's quoted in the Rosh. It would appear to be an obligation to eat garlic on Friday night. That there doesn't seem to be two opinions about it. But if you take a look in the Tosfot Yom Tov here on page 9, in the second bracket, he says here, "V'arambam b'chiburo perek tet mishmid din mochlei shum v'lo yedati lama." He says the Rambam left out the halacha of making a neder from people who eat garlic. He doesn't know why. Why did the Rambam leave out this halacha of eating that if you make a neder of someone who eats garlic, you're asur in Jewish people? Why did the Rambam leave it out? So. If we take a look, we can see the explanation of this very, very easily. If you look at the Perush Mishnayot here of the Rambam, they printed here. So they have here, "Yitba'er lecha bezot ha-maseret, shaya min agam lechol shum b'erev Shabbat al kol panim." They had a hakpada, the Chachamim had a hakpada to eat garlic on Friday night. Now, already you get a sense from the Rambam's language, that shaya min hagam, their minhag of the time of the rabbis of the Mishnah of the Gemara, like as if our minhag is not like that. Right, to really get a sense, right? And in fact, the Rambam actually left out this entire takanat out of the Mishneh Torah, not just the halacha about nedarim. He left out the entire takanat. Actually, quotes every other single one of the takanot,
except for the neder,
except for the one about achilat shum, except for eating garlic.
Garlic.
He only ends up with nine. Now he knows the Gemara. He leaves it out. So why? So let's see the next. There's another Rambam Pirush Mishneh in page 10. Which might explain this.
The Rambam did write Mishovtei Shabbat?
Yes, that he wrote. He wrote all the other Mishnayot. This is the only one he left out.
The part which Ochlei Shum.
Ochlei Shum, exactly. So now let's see why. So we see very easily why. On page 10, if you see the Rambam, there's another Mishnah which also talks about this business with eating garlic. This time it's a person who made a neder not to eat garlic. And we say he made it until Friday night. Say that's the time when you eat garlic. Everyone knows you eat garlic on Friday nights. It was a very widespread thing, apparently. So the Rambam says here, "Vayamin hagam lechol hashum belele Shabbatot b'tchilat ha'layla." Talmud specifics, Friday night. "Lefi shaya mesayer alehem al tashmish lefi ma'achalam ve'artzam." The Rambam says that this takana was connected to, was appropriate for, "lefi." This was their diet, this was their climate there, the country they lived in, Chazal lived in, and that was appropriate for their time. So you see from here that the Rambam, we see very clearly why the Rambam lifted out, because he thought that the point of the Takana was to facilitate mitzvat onah. Okay, that means that in accordance with your diet, in accordance with your climate, what is helpful for that? So obviously, that's why we see the Rambam lifted out. The Chida wants, and this is the explanation that Achronim give for the Rambam. If you look just for an example on page 9, back again, the Ma'arich on the bottom answers the Kushal Tosfot Yom Tov, and this is the answer of the Rashash, the answer of the Chida. Everyone answers like this. He says, "Lefi Ma'achalam Ve'Artzam, Im Ken Lo Haya Yechol Rambam Lichtov Din Shum." Right. So he says the Rambam couldn't include this Din Shum. Why? Because it's not appropriate for our diet. It's not relevant for us, at least for the Rambam's time. And he points out the Gam Shulchan Aruch Lo Hayti Klal Din Shum. Interesting. Also, the Shulchan Aruch also leaves it out. Following the Rambam, leaves out this whole thing. So
that you can eat shum.
Leaves out the halacha of ochle shum of neder, and he leaves out the halacha of eating shum, on Friday night, presumably following the Rambam. Although he never spells it out, the Vedas have never spells it out, presumably following the Rambam, that this was based on their claims. The Chida wants to know what you should have to substitute something else. You should substitute something else for shum, which is appropriate in your diet. But he says, maybe it'll be bad for you, right? Like you said before, shum is good for you, it's healthy. Garlic is healthy for you. So, they only made a takana for garlic, and once that takana doesn't apply because it's not in accordance with our diet, so then the takana will not apply at all. Okay, so this is probably Shitat HaRambam. How did the poskim deal with this? So if you look in page 11, she's Magen Avraham, quotes from Marshal, Yom Shem Shlomo, he says, "Mitzvah lechol shumer Shabbat or belele Shabbat." This is either Friday afternoon or Lele Shabbat. Magen Avraham quotes it. Machtit HaShekeler says the Ikar is Friday night. Okay, so the Magen Avraham at least is not taken by the fact that Rambam left it out. He quotes it. No, he has no problem. Just to get a sense, what would be the shiur for someone who's going to keep this takana? How much do they have to eat?
Of shum. I would think of kazayit.
Think kazayit, right? So take a look in the Dir Shum Mishnayot. They quote. They ask the stipler. The stipler, Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, and he says, "Shu kechol shar shiurei achila, shem kezayit o kebeitza." Sounds like he's not sure. Kezayit kebeitza. Chadav Chaim Kanievsky says, "Shiur zeh rak leil shetzchim segula lebanim." Well, shar anashim mespik ba'achila mashu. He says, "No, just eat a little bit. That's also fine." Interesting side point. So is this takana observed? Does anybody follow this takana? The Magen Avraham quoted it. So we saw the Vilna Gaon quoted it.
And that's only for a skula for bonim.
Yeah, exactly. That's if you really need help. otherwise, you just eat a little bit. So it's a machloka, I guess, between the stipler and Chaim Kanievsky, who's his son. I don't know. Sounds like the stipler felt it was shiur achila. But good question. So if you look at the Mishnah, so is this takana observed? Should it be observed? So let's see for Ashkenazim first of all. For Ashkenazim, we always do our comparative religion. So the Mishnah Berura in page 13 quotes the Takana, "Mitzvah lechol shum be'er Shabbat or be'er Shabbat." And he doesn't hesitate at all. Shar Tzin says mitakana tzitzah. There's no problem. However, Aruch HaShulchan on page 14 says "Ein anu noagin b'zeh." He says we don't have such a minhag. Now look at the reason he gives. This is a classic reason. He says, "Ulai mipnei shenimtza b'sefer chasidim, the shumim mevatlim ta'ava, rak shumim tzluim marvim zera." So he says, sefer chasidim has to be roasted garlic only. Roasted garlic only. Pirim Agadim quotes this, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. "Ve'ein anu bekiim litzlotan." We're not experts enough to know how to roast garlic. That's a very strange thing to say. The Ramah is famous for saying that Ashkenazim are not baki in a whole lot of things. This is like a classic line in Ashkenazi poskim that we don't know how to do what they knew how to do in the time of the Gemara. We don't know how to do this. We don't know how to do that. But this one is—I've never seen anything like this before. We don't know how to roast garlic. I don't know. Just put it on the fire. So I'm not sure what he means exactly. He thinks it's like a special roasting. But either way, Shitat HaRambam says they didn't observe this takana. And a very simple reason, because it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Rambam. So the Magen Avraham quoted it, but not every Magen Avraham is followed. Lemaaseh, among Ashkenazim, I think only people who follow the Hanagot of the Gra observe this takana. They say the Stipler, the Chazanish,
In the old city, there's the Gra. They follow the Gra and everything. Zilbermans.
Right.
They follow the Gra.
I'm sure they eat makbiti, the kazayit, of garlic on Friday night. I think it's not very widespread. Other than that, what about
among Zilbermans? Does that?
Yeah.
What, did they follow the Gra?
Yeah.
There's a whole like
interesting
Zilberman. I have a question. In the Gemara, we saw that it said Erev Shabbat.
Yeah. So why are they saying Leil Shabbat? Right? Yeah, and the Magen Avraham says, "Oh, Erev Shabbat, oh, Leil Shabbat." So I didn't want to get into it too much. The Gemara, and that, and like two lines later, the Gemara says Erev Shabbat to refer to the mitzvat Onah. That obviously means Leil Shabbat. So therefore, so there's a whole discussion in the Poskim. I understand.
The Mishnah Berurah said mitzvah lechol shum be'erev Shabbat.
Oh, be'erev Shabbat. That's right. The Gra was makbid Leil Shabbat. The Magen Avraham seems to say, "Oh, Erev Shabbat is also an option." It's hard to pin down. Many times the Gemara uses the word Erev Shabbat, it means Leil Shabbat. Like here, the Gemara says there's a mitzvah on Erev Shabbat. That doesn't mean on Friday afternoon. It means Leil Shabbat. So the Poskim talk about how fast is the garlic going to be digested. If you eat it too early, it's going to be digested quickly. It's not going to help. Maybe if you eat it too late, it's not going to take effect quickly enough. So this is part of the discussion also, trying to figure out how it works exactly.
Why wasn't the Gemara precise about Erev Shabbat or Leil Shabbat?
Sometimes the Gemara says Erev Shabbat, it means Leil Shabbat, I guess they expect to be clear from the context, but to us it's not clear.
It seems like there are two also reasons why you would eat them. One is for the Taiva and one is for Marva Zera.
That's interesting. It's Mavetava,
Mavetava. So maybe that's why there's a chilek in these man. Maybe. Because if
mevatlim tava.
No, but that's the problem. If you eat it raw, then the tefillah seems to be mevatel. So
gross.
That's interesting. I don't know if it's necessary to get into the pratim.
Right. Okay.
But
if you eat it roast too much, it'll be mevatava.
No, I mean the point is to be mevatava.
Oh, because it says, in the Oruch Shchan it says. The shumim mevatlim ta'ava.
That's if you eat it raw.
Raw.
Yes, you have to roast it. But Ashkenazim don't know how to roast garlic, so therefore they don't do it. Actually, in the Dirshu Mishnah, they even have instructions. They ask the stipler, "How do you roast it?" So he said, "Well, you take a little oil in a pan and you do it until it goes brown." And like, okay, so this is a very big inyan for people who follow the Minhag HaGra. What about Sfaradim? So I didn't find anywhere in Rav Avadia or Yalkut Yosef anywhere any discussion of this. The Kaf HaChaim quotes it, but at first he says, "Nireh hechidami lemishi yesh lo isha." Avin mu panu yosh en ishto teora chadom elechol midvarim mizera shlo yira lo mikre b'layla chas v'shalom. He says, "Let's be logical about this. Person's not married, or his wife is nida, so he definitely shouldn't eat garlic. He should makbid not to eat garlic, so he shouldn't have keri chas v'shalom." So that's against the Gra. The Gra felt it would apply to everybody. So for sure, Sfaradim would not be makpid to do this across the board, following the Kaf HaChaim. And then he quotes the Chida that we mentioned earlier, that the Rambam lifted out because it's not appropriate for our diet. So it sounds like he's not so sure that the Takana should apply, because he ends up with quoting the Chida, who says the Rambam says it doesn't apply.
Well, the Rambam doesn't apply eating shum if
he doesn't quote it at all. I'm trying to figure out why.
I thought he wouldn't quote it because it was part of their diet, so that's
the time the Gemara was part of their diet, so that's a check takana. But the Rambam's time is not part of the diet, doesn't have the required effect or whatever it is, and according to our climate, our diet. So he doesn't even quote it. So that's what the Chida says, when the Kaf HaChaim is with that. So it sounds like he thinks that the takana should not necessarily be observed. But as for the first part,
it's interesting why also Dafka Shom, because there are other Macholim that the Gemara quotes that also do the same thing.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, that's true. And on Erev Yom Kippur, we're very makpid not to eat all those kinds of things.
Right, like the Rambam tells you, don't eat like Chalav Cham.
Right.
It's Friday night, you're going to eat meat.
Right, but like in Erev Yom Kippur, we're makpid not to eat dairy for like late in the day. We're makpid not to eat eggs late in the day. We're makpid not to eat beef late in the day. We had Davka have chicken at the Sudam of Seket for Yom Kippur for all these reasons. I just think Davka Shum was the one that was picked. Maybe it's the best, I don't know. But just a Tana de Mesayel, a Rishon that seems to say this idea against the Gra about Nasui versus Panui, the Ra'avya says, Mitzvah Lachzor Achei Shumim Kedem Rinan. Again, the Rambam is really unusual, Shita here. Most of the Rishonim quote this Takana without any problem. He says shiuchlim shum ber Shabbat, mishum monach, Netanya, etc. Shvinu na shagod varim mekarin gufo matin et zera let la lemechal b'Shabbata. Vani mili b'shekesh ishto imo ve'ena nida. So he says it only applies when his wife is there with him and she's not a nida. In the note, he tries to say no, he's only talking about the second part, but the pashtut in the Rav Yah is like the Kaf HaChaim said, so Tana de Mesayel to the Kaf HaChaim. Okay, do the Temanim have anything to say about this issue? Do we have anything to say about this? So, on the surface, you know, the Shtilei Zeitim on page 18 quotes the Magen Avraham, Mitzvah Lechol Shum, or Dvarim Amarbim Zer Be'ev Shabbat or Be'lel Shabbat. So the Shtilei Zeitim brings it down l'alacha. And I wasn't able to find any other discussion of the subject, any mention of a minhag or so on and so forth. Certainly, I would assume that we wouldn't necessarily assume like the Gra that everybody should eat it only when it's appropriate. But at the same time, I didn't find any mention that anyone says, "Yeah, we're makfid about this, we're noheg this minhag." I wouldn't assume it was necessarily a widespread thing. You know, when you look, for instance, at the descriptions of Sarat Teman or Halichot Teman about like the Friday night meal. You know, there's no mention, and then we bring, you know, the shum to the table, the garlic to the table, and everyone eats garlic. There's no mention of it. So I would assume that people who were, you know, familiar with the Magen Avraham and they read this, maybe they would have observed it. But I don't know if it was very wide, very widespread. Okay, so that's our topic of achilat shum, and that's what we have to say about that. Let's begin.
If the Shtilei Zeitim mentioned that it's a mitzvah, so that means that it was matzui in Teman, the garlic? Or?
Not necessarily. That's a big clown, Shtilei Zeitim, that he doesn't. If he thinks something is wrong, he won't quote it. He doesn't think it's wrong. He's telling you that this is a takanat Ezra, but he's not necessarily reflecting the minhag. Many times the Shtilei Zeitim will quote halacha that doesn't reflect the minhag. So I wouldn't automatically assume that that was the minhag at all. You know, you can't even necessarily assume that they had garlic in Teman based on this. Meaning, I'm sure they did, but the fact that he says that you should eat it doesn't necessarily mean that they had it or that they ate it. It means he thought that was
what was a good thing.
He thought that was the proper thing to do. Okay, fine. Okay, so let's begin our next topic. Which is again talking about wine on Shabbat and on Yom Tov, and we'll talk about meat also. But first, let's speak about a very related topic, which is drinking wine during the meals of Shabbat for the purpose not of, let's say, simcha or oneg, but for a very different reason. So let's begin with the discussion of kiddush for seudah shlishit, which will lead us very quickly into this topic. Do you have to make kiddush at seudah shlishit? So let's see. So the Rambam says in page 19 here, he says tzarich likboa kol seudah mishloshtan al hayayin v'livtzol shtei kakarot v'chen b'yamim tovim. So the Rambam says each of the three meals of Shabbat. Well, the second part is you have to have lechem mishneh that we're familiar with, shtei kikarot, lechem mishneh. Shita the Rambam that seudah shlishit also needs two loaves, needs bread, and it needs two loaves of bread. But before that, he said an interesting thing. You have to fix each suda. You have to establish each suda on wine. So, on the surface, you read that, I'm not really sure what it means. What do you mean to establish the suda on wine? I guess the first two suda we understand, that you have kiddush. So you establish the suda on wine. What are the third suda? So if you look at the Rambam, page 20, he says just one halacha later, "Vitvelel mincha v'achar kach yigbar suda shlishit al hayayin v'yochal v'yishteh ad motzei Shabbat." The Shitat Rambam, suda shlishit must be after mincha, at least lechatchila, and you should be koveh it al hayayin v'yochal v'yishteh. So if we interpreted the previous line as referring to kiddush, it sounds like you have to make kiddush at suda shlishit also. That's in fact how many many rishonim read the Rambam. Just for an example, look at the tour on page 21. The tour on page 21 says, "V'katav Rambam Zal, shegam besuda shlishit koveh al hayayin, gam besuda shlishit uvotzeh al shtei kikarot. V'adoni avi Rosh Zal lo haya mevarech al hayayin kodem." The Rosh, however, would not make kiddush. He would not make a bracha on wine before suda shlishit. Why did kashiyom lo laila linyan kiddush? Ma laila sagi bechadzimna, aviyom nami sagi bechadzimna. Just like if you would eat a second seudah the night of Shabbat, you would not have to make kiddush before it. So to the day, you make kiddush one time. Aviyom nami sagi bechadzimna. Aval ayah botel shdikarot, but the rosh was makpid to have lechem mishneh for seudah shlishit. So this is the way the Torah understood this Rambam, that you have to have kiddush for seudah shlishit. If you look at the Ritva, we have here on page, jumping forward a little bit, we have here on page 26, we'll come right back to page 22 in a second. Page 26, the Ritva says, אבל הקדש על היין יש אומרים שאינו חובה. This was Seudah Shlishit. דהה, זה רדן, שבת קוף יודן עמוד בית, דה שורת הדין בקדוש לילה הוא סגי כדי לקדש יום בכניסתו, אלא משום דכבוד יום לחוד, דכבוד לילה לחוד, אמרו רבנה לקדש גם על this seems to be a mistake, גם על היין, קידוש הרבה מיד. So you have to make קידוש הרבה, you have to make like a קידוש, but you don't have to make קידוש לסעודה שלישית. אבל סעודה שלישית, למה לן קידוש האחינה? Why you have to make קידוש again? מי הוא כבן דלקה אלא בו פרי הגפן, טוב הוא ישיב לך ליין, קודם סעודה, לצאת את הספק. So the Ritva seems to say, yeah, maybe you should, why not? There's no bracha levatala. Make kiddush for seudah shlishit, the shitat ha-Ritva. And we see Rishonei Ashkenaz also, you mention, nobody's willing to come up and say, I do this. But everyone says, yeah, there are some people who do this. You know, make kiddush for seudah shlishit, and many of them base this assembly on the Rambam. So, whatever, it's very hard. And the Ritva actually recommends it. It's very, very hard to say that this is what the Rambam meant. If we take a look in Rambam, page 23, we see the Rambam who talks about Kiddush. On page 23, in Perek Kaftet of Hilchot Shabbat, says, Mitzvah levarech al hayayin b'yom ha-Shabbat kodem shisod seudah shniyah. Zehu nikra Kiddush ha-Rabba. Lom po ve'agefen bilvad v'shotef achar yitol da v'yisod. So that is very clear. He says, the mitzvah to make kiddush for the second meal. There's no mention of kiddush for the third meal. So it's very hard to say that the Rambam thought there should be kiddush for seudah shlishit. So if that's the case, so then what did the Rambam mean? If he's not talking about kiddush, what does it mean? Kover seudah al hayayin.
Just bo per gefen.
Well, he's telling you don't have to make a bo per gefen before you eat seudah shlishit.
Where?
Right, we see in page 23 tells you mitzvah that b'yom shabbat kodem shisod seudah shniyah, the mitzvah of kiddush haraba is for seudah shniyah.
Yeah, we understand from the Rambam you don't have to make kiddush seudah shishit, but when he says make a seudah and wine, just to make proper gefen.
When before the meal, that would be kind
maybe
of
that
like
would
a
be a, maybe no so maybe that would be a mitzvah shena tzvicha, so do it inside the meal.
Well, the bor per gefen will be the same either way, shelan debracha achona, but the bor per gefen will be the same either way. You make the bor per gefen in the middle of a bread meal, for sure. But it certainly wouldn't be a kiddush. If before the meal, it wouldn't be a kiddush. It would just be a bor per gefen. So the purpose is certainly not kiddush. What is it then? So what is this idea? So the Rambam seems to be based on a Gemara in Masechet Brachot, and let's take a quick look first at the Bet Yosef. He answers take a look at page 22. The Bet Yosef answers the tour. Let's go back to page 22. Mm-hmm. The Bet Yosef says we met in Siman Reish Tzadi Aleph in Hilchot Shabbat. The Bet Yosef v'met she'en lashon Rambam mevuach shezech lekadesh besudah shlishit. It's not really clear. The kovah al yain shekatav ikel lefarush edainu lomar sheyishte yain besudato. It means you should drink wine during the meal. Doesn't mean you should make kiddush. You should drink wine during the meal. And I just add it's meduyak like that because he already told you there's a kiddush Friday night, there's a kiddush Shabbat morning, and then told you and you have to be kovah al yain all three meals. You have to be kovah al yain. So that means that all three meals you must drink wine not only for kiddush lechora, but also during the meal, right? So he says, "Kivan shekol haposkim sovrim den tzach lekadesh." V'gam shen Rambam eno mevuah tzach lekadesh en mekadshin. So he says, given that all the poskim we speak about this explicitly say not to make kiddush, And the Rambam is not clear. Mikom makom mekadesh lo yifsid, kevan sheefshar lefaresh divrei Rambam shematzrich lekadesh. He says, but you probably don't lose anything by making kiddush. Somebody wants to say, I want to follow the Rambam. That, it could be the Rambam holds you have to make kiddush. But now look, so the Beit Yosef makes it sound like it's like ambiguous in the Rambam. Look in the Bedek Abayit, right here, he changed his mind. Now I saw the Rambam about Kiddush. I read more carefully. You see that there is no Kiddush with Suda Shlishit. So Mimela, this whole Rambam, the whole understanding of Kiddush, he says that throw it out the window. You want to make Kiddush? You know, that's your inyan. There's no Brachal Vatala, there's no problem. Just make a Bopre Geffen before you eat. But he thinks it's not, you can't say that's the Shitat Rambam. So then again, what is the Rambam saying? He says you have to Yishtei Yain Besudato, you have to drink wine during the meal. So why would anyone do that? What would be the basis for that? So the Chol, the source is the Gemara Brachot we were just about to look at before. We'll look at it now. On page 24. The Mishnah says, Birecha leyayin shelifne mazon, patar teyayin shelachar mazon. So there's three times you can drink wine with a meal. Before the meal, during the meal, and after the meal. Mm-hmm. So if you make a Bo Per Geffen before the meal, you don't have to make another one. And this is before Birkat HaMazon. Before the meal, then there's during the meal, then there's after the meal for dessert, so to speak, after you take away the bread. So he says, the Mishnah says, if you make the bracha on the wine before the meal, similar to a kiddush, patar the yayin shelach HaMazon also includes the wine that's after the meal. Okay, the Gemara on page 25 says, Amarava, Barbachana, Amiyochana, lo shanu ele b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim. הואיל ואדם קובע סעודתו על היין. אבל שאר ימות השנה מברך על כל כוס וכוס. So he says, this idea that you make a bracha on the wine before the meal and it covers the wine after the meal, that's only Shabbat and Yom Tov when you're קובע סעודה על היין. Not defining what קובע סעודה על היין means, that involves drinking wine. Right? But other days, no, you have to, it doesn't cover. Your da'at is not to include the wine in, you're not necessarily planning to drink it. There's no kviut suda al yain. It's not really part of the meal. I guess that's really the ikar. That's really the reason. Whereas Shabbat Yom Tov is part of the meal. Itmar nami amar Rabba b'Mari amar Rabbi Yosef ben Levi lo shanu ele b'Shabbat Yom Tovim uvishar shadam yotze mi bet amechat v'shata kasat adam olav adam kovei suda al yain. Other occasions also when a person makes the wine a key part of the meal, like when they come out of the bathhouse or after the bloodletting, right? So this is a reference in the Gemara to being kovea suda l'yayin on Shabbat and Yom Tov. It's difficult because the Gemara is talking about what's kovea suda l'yayin means after the meal you're going to drink wine. Right? Look at Rashi, the second Rashi on the Gemara. Ele b'Shabbatot, I didn't bracket it. Ele b'Shabbatot, d'da'ato l'shev achar ha-mazon v'lishtot. After you finish the meal, before Birchat ha-mazon, you're going to drink wine. You're going to sit like, serve the wine, serve the coffee, right? Serve the wine, right? So therefore, so the Gemara is talking about Yayin shel achar ha-mazon. What are Yayin shel toch ha-mazon? Where do you see that? So, I don't know where exactly you see that, but the Gemara here, let's have to read it right now, but as Nibaya, what about wine that's in the middle of the meal? And Rashi assumes that wine in the middle of the meal would certainly be covered. I don't know if that's really a proof that we're talking about that, but this is the only Gemara that the poskim quote for the source for the Rambam, and so that we have two big problems. Our first big problem is that this is wine shel achar ha-mazon. Yes, the lashon could be kovea suda l'yayin. Nobody said that according to the Rambam you have to drink wine after the meal. Also, that's strange. First of all, and second of all, it's clear from the Gemara that this is not a halacha. It's just a derech likvos. It's a halacha in brachot because people drink wine. So therefore, there's a certain ramification in L'chot Barachot. But nobody says when you come out of the shower you have to drink wine. Right? So that's a... And really many, many Rishonim, when they discuss this Gemara, they make it clear that the Gemara is not telling you halacha, you must be kovea suda l'yayin. They're telling you it's a halacha that given that this is the minhag, this is what people do, so mimela, you know, there's a ramification in L'chot Barachot. But there's no requirement to do so. So it's a very strange Rambam. And I didn't see anyone who was able to satisfactorily explain how the Rambam got this from this Gemara, but this is the only place we see a discussion of such a thing. So this is the Shitata Rambam. I guess next week we'll have to pick up to see whether this Rambam is relevant to Halakha. We saw that the Shitata Rambam, you have to drink wine during the meal. Is the Rambam relevant to Halakha L'maaseh? The general question we'll speak about meat and wine on Shabbat Yom Tov, that we'll have to take up next week. Okay.
Nice. Thank you very much.
I'm what?
I know my shoulder.